Now let me clear out some space for Haley here. It's time for Haley and the Knobs here on News Radio 840 WHAS. Bright and sunny now. Shower activity all around us here. It might rain on you for like 30 seconds and then it's gone. I had to clear out some space for Haley because Matt Jones was hanging around all afternoon hosting some network show. Does the guy ever go home?
I don't think so.
Did he give you your charger back?
Oh, no, I haven't seen that yet. Did he leave?
I don't know.
Oh.
Maybe he's still broadcasting.
Hopefully he's still here, or else I won't be able to charge my phone.
I always laugh when I see him wearing a red hat, Matt Jones, because he's such a UK guy.
You would think he just doesn't buy anything red as a principal.
He loves the Cincinnati Reds.
Ooh, see, that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's why you have to be like me and be a Cubs fan, and you both have red and blue, and your colors are both.
Makes sense. Conundrum!
Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
You've been to a Cubs game when you were a little kid.
Oh, yeah. I've been to a bunch of them.
You know what I love about Wrigley Field? The way it smells.
Well, it's that whole neighborhood.
It is.
Because it's just, it's hot dogs
exactly.
And popcorn and industrial gases. And
I don't know about that, but the food
that
smells.
Those gases are industrial.
Right.
That's a good point, yeah. General gases.
The food smells around that stadium are awesome.
Oh, it's amazing. It's just good food.
I love Fenway, but Fenway smells like beer. That's what it smelled like to me when I was in there.
I would argue most ballparks probably smell like beer.
Yeah.
If they don't, they're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm. But the neighborhood around Wrigley Field must have some pungent restaurants because the smell just wafts around there.
I miss Chicago eating every single day. I want a pizza puff that's dripping in oil. I want a beef with some sweet peppers. Ugh, I want it all.
Good stuff. All right, we've never started with this before, but we're going to have to. It's Amber Heard Day.
Starting off the show with breaking news.
Kate Moss, the supermodel from years ago, dated a certain Johnny Depp.
I've heard of him, okay.
Johnny Depp and Amber Heard are suing each other. He had to sue her first because she wrote an op-ed insinuating that he beat her up. And he said it ruined his career. Nobody will hire him. She countersued for $100 million, claiming she's lost work because of him.
Right.
I think they brought that up, too. Well, yeah, we'll get to the Kate Moss component of this sooner or later. But first, here is the producer for the Aquaman movie. Is she in Aquaman 2 or not? She's not in it.
I mean, she acted. The scenes were filmed. Whether she shows up in it or not, we don't know.
Here's the producer from the Aquaman movie talking about why Amber Heard is not used, the issue that's involved, but there's more to it than that, and whether Johnny Depp impeded her ability to make money.
I think editorially they were able to make that relationship work in the first movie, but there was a concern that it took a lot of effort to get there. And would we be better off recasting, finding someone who had better, more natural chemistry with Jason Momoa?
Okay, so she didn't have a natural chemistry with the star.
Right, it has nothing to do what's going on with what's going on. It's just her chemistry with him?
That's what it was. I think this audio is a little cleaner. Here's some more of that testimony.
And would we be better off recasting, finding someone who had better, more natural chemistry with Jason Momoa?
Okay.
Was there any other reason Warner Brothers delayed in picking up Ms. Heard's option for Aquaman 2?
No, it was all concerns about whether she was the right bit of casting for the movie.
Was her compensation affected in any way by anything said by Johnny Depp?
No.
Wah, wah.
Wow, if you're Amber Heard, that's sad.
So they're disproving the notion that her team tried to put forward that Johnny Depp keeping me from getting jobs.
Not only is that not true, but now you're also not the best actor and not a good match for Jason Momoa, arguably one of the hunkiest men on the planet right now.
So Kate Moss then is on, I guess, Zoom or whatever from England.
Man, did you see her? Her cheekbones could cut through glass.
She's
awesome. The most beautiful face structure.
Instead of loading all that sound, let's just paraphrase what happened. Amber Heard brought up Kate Moss, right?
During this trial.
Saying essentially that
she had heard
Yeah, but she felt threatened by Johnny Depp, and the image of Kate Moss was
she
in her mind.
She thought of Kate Moss because she had heard that Johnny Depp threw Kate Moss down a staircase. And Amber mentioned this during the trial. I guess just not caring if it were true or not. So essentially, Kate Moss was on today to say, no, Johnny never did that. And they flat out asked her, did he ever push you downstairs? Did he ever beat you? She said, no, he never did that. And she kind of laughs at the end. She's like, he never pushed me downstairs.
And she also said that he carried her and helped her.
Right. The complete opposite.
Yeah. So it makes Amber Heard's team look foolish. Now, don't you think that Amber Heard's defense team must have just been like, why are you mentioning this while she was on the stand? Like, do you think she just like she went rogue and giving an answer when she brought up the Kate Moss thing?
Of course she went rogue, because there's no way that her lawyers were like, this is a good idea. Because no one's made sure that this is a true fact.
Correct. And you have to have all that stuff buttoned up before you go to trial, because now that she's been mentioned, I heard that Johnny Depp, or it's been pointed out in newscasts, that Johnny Depp's defense team were like fist bumping once she mentioned Kate Moss, because like, now we're going to subpoena her, knowing that she's supportive of Johnny Depp.
Right. That he was, in fact, very helpful to her.
Oh, that's all bad news.
And it was very interesting watching Amber Heard watch Kate Moss's testimony.
Oh, really?
I wish that her team would hire a face actor to teach her how to just sit still without making facial expressions. Because the way Amber was tilting her head and her eyebrows were going up, it seemed very disingenuous to the situation. I think she needs an acting coach to teach her how to hide her facial.
Are you saying she didn't have good chemistry with Kate Moss so that those two probably won't be in a movie together as well?
I would say so.
Or the attorney that's cross-examining her. She didn't have good chemistry there either.
Just not good chemistry with Miss Amber.
That did not work out well for her. So I think this is finally all going to be completed on Friday.
Right. This is the last week.
Yeah. This has gone on long enough. But it's on all these different shows that you try to turn on something and it's like, oh, we need to talk about Johnny and Amber. I'm like, why? But I guess there's bigger ramifications in terms of defamation, slander, these other issues that come up and people think they have a case against someone maligning them.
Right.
And so I maybe this will back some other people up. You're like, yeah, maybe I won't exaggerate something.
Yeah, right.
In order to try and get paid or to get back at somebody.
Maybe I won't bring up an alleged assault that I don't know if it's true or not.
Exaggeration does not work, because sooner or later they flesh it out.
No, if you think you're going to be smarter, you're going to outsmart everyone in that courtroom, boy, you are very wrong.
All that aside, I still don't think Johnny Depp's going to get more jobs as Jack Sparrow. He's 100 years old now. It just doesn't play the same way, unless he's Jack Sparrow's dad or whatever.
Well, I mean, I don't think there are going to be a lot of Jack Sparrow movies going forward, but I do kind of wonder. I don't think the Fantastic Beasts movie that just came out a month ago did quite as well at the box office as the others had done. I wonder if he wins. Maybe he gets to slide back into that series because he's already been a part of it.
I think they've mentioned that before, saying we would like to have Johnny back. So maybe, yeah, if you're right, if this ends up on his side, I just happened to come back for this next movie.
Yeah, $50 million in his pocket and a ticket to a couple more $20, $30 million paydays wouldn't be bad.
They said he blew through all of his money. He's going to need $50 million just to pay these lawyers.
Oh boy.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, they don't work for free. So anyway, there you go. There's your Amber and Johnny update on there. The thing will be over. Today's Wednesday, right? Yeah.
Only a few more days, folks.
48 hours, then we can move on with our lives and get into Memorial Day weekend, which is inching closer and closer. Couldn't get here soon enough. We're back in a few. It's Haley and the Nobs on News Radio 840 WHAS. It's Haley and the Nobs on News Radio 840 WHAS.
Ragdoll! Where did I do? me there. Red, no, red and not ready.
I think that sounds pretty accurate. Yeah.
Aerosmith. I've always liked Aerosmith. I mean, they were cool when I was in school. That's how old they are.
Still not as old as the Stones.
Oh, don't exactly. We'll get to the Stones in a minute. I hear that the Vegas residency's on hold.
It's canceled, from what I understand. Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's. Oh,
did they flat out cancel it?
I think they did.
That's
they
a said sweet they're... job because you get to stay in the hotel. You just, you know, okay, I'm going down to the show.
Right. The show starts in 7 minutes. All right, right, take boom. The elevator down.
The studio's set up for you. The sound, all that stuff is there. You don't have to travel. You're not jumping on a plane and going to another city and, hey, how are you? Nice to meet you. It's the same thing. That residency business is good money and easy.
Easy living.
What went sideways, Ian?
Well, evidently it's the old drugs are bad. Steven Tyler got to check himself back into rehab again. I guess he had some sort of foot surgery, and they're saying... he kind of fell off the wagon a little bit, I'm guessing, through painkillers or whatever to deal with the pain from the surgery. And now he is electing to go into rehab. They're going to cancel the Vegas residency, and they hope that they can get back out on the road. Aerosmith, I mean, by the second leg of their American tour, I think it's supposed to be September. So
interesting.
I don't know how long he plans on staying.
Did he fall off the stage? Maybe when he broke his foot. Is that what it was?
Oh, was it?
Wasn't there an incident where Steven Tyler fell off the stage?
I think he did fall off the stage, but I don't think he broke his foot there. Yeah.
Anyway, so he was taking pain pills, and it's like
relapse. They haven't said, but that's my guess. Yeah.
Yeah, that's slippery.
That's the logical road to go down there. Yeah, that's why a lot of former addicts do everything they can to avoid surgeries and stuff like that, because they know, if I take that stuff, I'm just reopening the door there.
It's horrible.
Yeah. After my back surgery, the nurse came in the next day and said, you know, they have that clicker thing, click, click,
oh,
where
yeah.
you give yourself. And she said, you know, you haven't hit that thing one time yet. I said, I'm not much on medicine. She said, well, let me put it to you this way. Yesterday, we stuck a knife in your back and you are still on anesthesia from surgery. That's about to wear off. I was like, click.
Yeah,
click.
How
does this work? Because I didn't feel anything. You know, I still didn't feel anything the next day.
Because the drugs were working.
Anesthesia was still working.
That's the good part, yeah.
Good to know.
It's a slippery slope, though.
Steven Tyler in...
well, yeah, we had to cancel Terry's Vegas residency.
Right, remember that.
I want a Vegas residency. That's such a good gig. I mean, Celine Dion or whoever does those things. I'm going to do it for a year. Or whatever, and it's like people go, oh, really? I think that's a nice way to live for a while.
Oh, yeah.
You just, all that traveling wears people out. It's just nice to be there. And then somebody's spoiling you all the time. They're sending you whatever you want up to your presidential suite that they're keeping you up.
And if it's an Aerosmith residency, you could just put the mic out to the crowd and have them sing every song. You don't have to do anything.
Is it Steven and Joey and... I don't know who else is
still in
the band.
I think most everybody is still in the band except the drummer. I want to say the drummer's had some health issues and a few other things. Maybe he's not there.
That's the thing. Like, you go see these bands. Obviously, the Rolling Stones, you referenced Charlie Watts passing away, and they have to put somebody else in there. It just never quite feels the same. But Ronnie Wood's still at it. Keith Richards, amazingly.
Jeez.
Mick Jagger, I saw on Instagram today, was standing there. It's like he's still doing these things. Like when they were touring America, he would like pop up in Los Angeles or whatever, and you'd see some famous
Mick
scene
undercover. Yeah. He inconspicuously goes to a dive bar.
He's in Holland, and he's standing near like a windmill. And then there's another shot of him where he's on a bicycle, and then he's standing by some flowers or whatever. And it's like, what's up? And then it says in the caption, enjoyed rehearsing in Holland. We'll see you in Spain next week. So the Stones have been rehearsing in Holland.
I mean, that's nice. Why Holland?
Well, I don't know.
Well, because it's,
they're the Stones.
Tulips are beautiful this time of year.
Mick Jagger, though, talking to was one of the magazines about Harry Styles. Styles getting all these rave reviews for his new album, starting his world tour. He's 28 years old. Mick Jagger's 128 years old. And he's been compared to Mick because... Harry Styles, because of his onstage dancing and colorful outfits. Jagger says there's no comparison. He told Rolling Stone on the Sunday Times that he likes Harry, but he has quote, just a superficial resemblance to my younger self, and quoting again, doesn't have a voice like mine or move on stage like me.
Terry.
He also said that he was more androgynous than Harry Styles. And so
that's right. Like, we talked about that.
He's like saying, look, Sonny, I've already done all this stuff. It's like, don't you know who I am?
Sorry, Mick, you're going to have to step aside because Harry Styles is literally the biggest celebrity right now. And maybe you don't think he has a good voice, right. But, you know, millions of billions of people do. So, yeah.
Mick, no.
Just be confident in yourself.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
You had a good 50, you had 60, a great 80 run. Years before.
You're still having a run.
I was going to say had. They're still out there making more money than Harry Styles.
I forgot. Right. I mean, there was 30,000 likes on his picture standing next to a windmill. You're still there, Mick. It's just, it's Harry's turn now.
There's
step
room
aside.
For everyone, Mick.
Step down, son. It's all good. Shatter. Back in a few on News Radio 840 WHAS. Do you read mysteries?
I love a good mystery.
Ian, you?
I like mysteries, but I don't read them very often.
You know, I love the late, great Sue Grafton. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Her late,
Alphabet series.
Yeah, her widower, Steve, and I are golf partners. We miss her, and she's been wonderful. I loved all the things she wrote for her detective stories. I love authors. I love their creativity, the things they can come up with.
Oh, yeah.
Astounding.
And in fact, Pat and I are rewatching Murder, She Wrote.
Oh.
A bit of mystery and a bit of writing in there.
Yeah.
Boy, that Angela Lansbury can solve any crime.
She really can, and gets it all wrapped up right in time for the commercial
Perfect.
Break.
Perfectly.
I mean,
she saw something about her recently.
She is getting a special Tony Award for theater excellence.
Oh, okay.
So that was in the news yesterday. So if you saw that, that was probably
you have to
what
be an imaginative person though to make a living just sitting down at your computer and thinking, okay, I gotta think of something.
What's a new way to murder someone?
Yeah.
Caught?
I just heard about a romance novelist.
Oh, okay, romance novel.
Romance novelist. That's about love and passion.
Yeah, right. Thing, happiness, right? Finding your soulmate.
Yeah.
Your partner in life.
She wrote something called How to Murder Your Husband.
That was her romance novel?
It doesn't seem very romantic.
Well, it depends on if you are the person that's murdering or the husband.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because if you're the person that's murdering, there's still more chances out there for you to
somebody,
find that special
I'm
one.
Single again. I wonder how quickly you would say a thing like that after you murdered your spouse. Well, anyway, she wrote something called How to Murder Your Husband. Today, though, she was in court.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I know this story.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and they just put it up on our iHeart website, as a matter of fact. In Oregon, Nancy Crampton Brophy was found guilty of second-degree murder in relation to the death of her husband, Daniel Brophy, in June 2018. She writes the story, How to Murder Your Husband, and then kills him.
Well, the best part of that is, during the trial, the thing that she wrote, which was like 10 years ago, wasn't admissible. So they didn't have that as a reference to say, well,
that's just a happy coincidence?
Yeah, she had written it as like some sort of blog entry something, and somehow it was ruled inadmissible in court for some reason. So the trial was just based on the actual time that she did murder her husband,
and
not when she previewed it a decade ago.
I think he was an instructor at a trade school. Investigators report students and staff found the body of Mr. Brophy. Oh, he was a chef, excuse me, at the Oregon Culinary Institute.
Mm.
Privately owned trade school. Back on June 2nd, 2018, Crampton Brophy was among hundreds of people in attendance for a vigil honoring her husband in his hometown of Beaverton, Oregon, 2 days after his death. And she was quoted by the news as saying, Dan was one of the very few people I've known that did exactly what he wanted in life and loved doing it. Sound like a pretty supportive wife. Except that she killed him 2 days earlier.
Supportive up until murdering him. That's interesting.
So,
and bold of her to still talk to the paper after killing. You could pull the, oh, I'm a grieving wife, I can't even step out of the house. And she's like, no, 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 Mr. Newspaper Reporter, do I have a quote for you? And she killed him.
That is weird. That's when you're such a narcissist, you think you're going to talk your way around, like Amber Heard. Mm-hmm. You're going to talk your way around something.
Isn't that a thing, though? People that commit crimes are more likely to get involved in the police investigation because they want to see all the people looking into them.
Put them off on a wrong path.
Right.
Trick them.
It is a narcissistic weird thing.
It's another thing about arsonists. They'll say oftentimes, They'll do what they do, their dastardly deed, and then the fire trucks pull up or whatever, and then suddenly they're a witness. Oh, hey, look at that. I just
happened to be here.
They got a big far, and they're taking pictures. And so many times investigators know this. They take pictures of the people that are gathered around.
Yep.
That's a good starting point.
That's any criminal, really, because they just want to see, you know, what happens from whatever crime they just committed.
Which, I mean, fair. I would like to see the drama roll out as well, but I can just watch, you know, a reality TV show. I don't have to murder my husband.
Yeah, there's plenty of drama in that.
The author Nancy Crampton Brophy, who I'm trying to picture, she's sitting at her computer one day and she's like, how to murder your husband. You know what?
Do you think it was a light bulb moment where she was like, man, this is a great book. I'm a good writer. Wait a minute.
This may work. It doesn't say how she killed him, but she was guilty of second-degree murder of this poor fellow, Daniel Brophy, in June 2018.
If I remember correctly, she shot him.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
The author was arrested and charged in connection to her husband's death 3 months after that beautiful vigil where she bragged about him. He was a great man.
He just does what he loves.
She pleaded not guilty, so clearly she didn't do it.
She didn't do it, of course.
The trial was held in April. Started rather in April last month and went on for 25 days. It was postponed because of the pandemic. Crampton Brophy claimed she was home at the time of her husband's death.
Okay, so she's good. She had an alibi. She was home.
Turns out, Haley, she didn't know there were surveillance cameras at the school.
What?
They saw her. The prosecutors
showed
the video that showed her minivan driving near the institute at the time of her husband's death. Oh, you were home. There's your car right there outside the school where you
killed
the chef. She
had the time to write an entire book, many books if she's a romance novelist, and yet she didn't get enough time to look to see if there were cameras when she murdered her.
She's a smart one.
Stick to writing, girlfriend. The real stuff's not working out.
I wonder if he ever thought, if he was miserable and he ever thought, I'm a chef, I could give her a dish of something. Anyway, God rest his soul.
I wonder if he ever thought she already wrote something called How to Murder Your Husband. Maybe I should get out of it.
A little fishy.
I hope her next book that she's writing while she's in the holding cell isn't How to Murder Your Prosecutor. I just hope that's not her next plan.
Might be roommate. You never know.
We'll see. It's Hail in the Knobs on News Radio 840 WHAS. Caitlyn Jenner weighing in on the Kanye and Kim and Pete Davidson stuff.
Interesting. She has been very quiet throughout their entire uncoupling.
That is interesting, too, because Caitlyn is not shy.
No.
We've learned
outspoken, if you will.
Yes.
I kind of wonder if the kids have been like, hey, simmer it down on our relationships. We're adults.
Maybe that's it. Anyway, supportive for sure. Here's what Caitlin had to say.
I really liked Kanye. I got along with him so well. Two of us did great together. And even when I transitioned, he was so on my side and, you know, loving it. But he was very difficult to live with. And Pete is 180 degrees the other direction.
So that's complimentary.
You always want to have your dad's approval on, or your parental figure's approval on your partner.
Well, she's still their dad.
Right.
Technically.
I think they still call her dad,
yeah,
right?
I
or
think
at least
so,
part,
yeah.
Some of them do.
No, I think they did. Yeah.
The interesting part of that is, how do we know what Pete's like to live with? Is she living with Pete?
I don't know.
Very interesting. Yeah, you seem to know him well.
Okay, so on Saturday Night Live, he leaves. Kate McKinnon leaves.
Oh.
Who's going to be the bigger star, or Adi Bryant, who also
left? Adi Bryant, yeah.
Who will be the biggest star of those three that I just named?
I think Adi Bryant, because she's got those writing chops. She's going to be a great comedy writer. She's going to have good stuff.
But it's hard to be a star as a writer.
That's true.
Pete's going to be the biggest
star. As long as she doesn't write How to Murder Your Husband. Don't go down that path, Adi. I'm going Kate McKinnon, big superstar, movie star, 2 years. We'll just see.
I'll agree with that.
Good night. Yes, babe, you know.